Tonight, our theme is obedience. As a son, I didn't always get the obedience thing. You know, I'd be like to my mom and dad, why? Why do you want me to do this your way? I prefer my way. I prefer doing what I want to do when I want to do it. Sometimes I just didn't see the point of obedience. And I'm not going to tell you any of the stories, because that would be bad. I really didn't understand the importance of obedience or the motivation behind obedience until now as a father. And it's out of love that I want Abigail to be obedient. One of the highest callings in my life is to be a father. The highest calling of my life is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. As a father, I feel the responsibility of teaching, guiding, nurturing Abigail so that she grows up well. She grows up to be safe. She grows up to be educated with good job prospects, to be compassionate, generous, selfless, giving. And my ultimate goal for her is that she will become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of love, I want her to be obedient to us as parents and obedient to God. So we try to teach her the right things to do. And we try to set her a good example. We pray for her. We correct her when she does wrong. Sometimes I throw out her toys. It's great. Simply, we love her and we love God. The key to understanding obedience is love. God's love. In his love for us, he desires that we be obedient to him because he wants a relationship with us and what is best for us. He gave us Jesus. And we, in return, and out of thanks and a realization of the impact of God's love for us, we are to love God back. And we do this by being obedient to God. Obedience has nothing to do with fun-killing spite or needless restrictions. It is all about love. So if we go into Deuteronomy, so imagine the scene. The people of Israel are gathered together on the plains of Moab. They have been wandering the wilderness for about 40 years, and all those older people who had escaped from Egypt are dead. And this is, if you like, the next generation of the people of Israel, and they are standing in front of Moses. And here I see Moses as a kind of father figure, as a father of a nation of people he loved. He started by telling his family about the past. As we saw last week, the people's lack of faith and about the fact that the Lord had to discipline them. But then he also encouraged them about the different victories that the Lord had given them. This was what they needed as they were preparing to leave the wilderness and to cross the River Jordan and enter the promised land. They had to learn from the past as they looked to the future. At the end of Moses' sermon to them, which we have in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, he is continuing with the challenge, and he is continuing to challenge the people to be obedient to the Lord. This is the lesson they were to learn from the past as they stood there ready for the future. Ready to enter the promised land, they needed to set their sights on obedient lifestyles. Because if they were not obedient to God, they would fall for idols. Moses, as their father, who would not cross the Jordan into the promised land with them, his greatest desire for them was that these people would be obedient to the words he spoke, would be obedient to God. Remember, this was his parting words to these people he loved. Everything he said here comes from the heart out of love and probably with great emotion. Now, if you want to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll be looking at it. We'll be looking a little bit at 5 and 6 as well. But it starts, and I'm going to read the first 2 verses. Deuteronomy 4:1. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them, do them, so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. We get the call to obedience at the start. This is a big deal in this chapter and the next two. In these two verses, we see the use of some very important Hebrew words. We see Shema, which means hear and obey. And it occurs 20 times in these three chapters. We see Shemar, which means to keep, and different variants of it. They occur 18 times. Moses is clearly pleading and challenging the people to be obedient. In his choice of language, no one would leave this sermon without knowing the point. Shema, Shamar, hear, obey, keep. In these chapters, we see three things which help us to be obedient. We will see that we need to do, that we need to remember, and we need to teach. First, if we want to be obedient, we need to do. And the word for do appears 11 times in these chapters. And we get it in verse 1, part B. It says, follow, or better translation is, do them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land. And then in Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. The result of their obedience would be that they would take the land and prosper in the land. What were they to be obedient to? What were they to do? Basically, to be obedient to God's teaching and live out those teachings and to do them. Deuteronomy 4:13. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on 2 stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. The commandments. Chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, we read that Moses re-gives the Ten Commandments to the people. And we all know the Ten Commandments, and we're not going to go over them or through them right now, but you can read that for yourself and be encouraged and challenged by them. And then in chapter 6, there's like a little brief summary of the Ten Commandments in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. One God, no other gods before him. Love him with your all. That was what they were to do as a people. And as they, as a nation, would do these things, keeping these commandments, doing these things, then they would be an example to the rest of the world. They were to be different. They were to be an example. Someone said of this, envisioned here in the law of God is a society that is quite distinct from every other known society in the world. Based on the absolute respect of all its members, all equally enjoying the protection of the law of God. Loving God. Moses said, be an example by what you do. Let's read chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations. Who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people? What other nation is so great to have their gods near them in the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as the body of laws I am setting before you today? By doing the law, they would be an example to the people around them. The people around them would see them as wise, and that God was near to them, and that the way they lived was truly righteous. All of this points towards a righteous God, giving him glory. And obedience is key to this. To be obedient, we must do and therefore be an example to the world as we live out the commandments. Moses desperately wanted this for the people of God, for his people. As Christians, we are to be obedient to God in the same way as the people of Israel. If we want to experience his blessings and guidance in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need to obey. What are we to obey? Jesus repeated the summary of the Ten Commandments in Matthew 22, and in, we read it in Luke, and we read it in Mark as well. And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets." Love God with our all and love our neighbor. This is the law we are to be obedient to. This is Jesus' teachings. To be obedient, we must do these things. We must love God. We must love our neighbors. As Norman said this morning, we must live the sermon. We must live the word of God. Obedience is not just about knowing, it is about doing. Jesus commands us to do. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He said, "Be the light of the world," Matthew 5. In the same way, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We are to be different. We are to be an example to the world by how we do life, by how we do community. John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We are to be an example that points to our righteous God, bringing God the glory. 1 Peter 2, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against the soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Doing this is obedience to Jesus. If we are not doing, we are not obedient. And Jesus desperately wants us to be obedient Christians doing his will. Second thing we see, if we want to be obedient, is we need to remember. It's simple. If you don't remember, you're not going to be obedient. Throughout this chapter, the people are called to remember the acts of God and the law. For example, chapter 4, verse 10, "Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb and were given all of the commandments." And then in Deuteronomy 6, and 12, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Moses spoke of the giving of the law and of God bringing the people out of Egypt several times in this section. The people needed to remember the laws and the reason for keeping them. They had been redeemed by the Lord. And look at the things Moses told them to do to remember. Deuteronomy 6, 8, and 9. "Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. If you go into Jewish homes, you will see this. If you go to Israel or New York, you will probably see some people walking around with wee boxes tied onto their heads with the law on them, in them. Moses desperately wanted his people to remember. In order to remember, we need to keep things front and center. The old saying is true, out of sight, out of mind. It's interesting, if you go into our house, we have some art. There's a painting of Scrabble Tower, which is where we got engaged. There are paintings of African animals, because apparently once we went to Africa, I don't know. There's a picture of queens. There are wedding photographs. There's about a bazillion photographs of Abigail. The stuff that we have on our walls reminds us of significant events, something which is significant in our lives. How many of us have the commands and teachings of Jesus on our walls or our doorposts? You know, as Norman was preaching this morning and talking about the Beatitudes, and he said that they were countercultural, I thought to myself, you know, what if the last thing I read as I left the house on the door frame was a little list of them? How would that change the way I looked at the rest of my day? Poverty in spirit, mourning, meekness, hunger, mercy, purity, peacemaker, suffering. I remind myself of how I'm supposed to live. Or around our houses, in our houses, we were reminded of the Ten Commandments. We were reminded of them. Or the greatest commandment was written on your wall. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. We forget things so easily. Or if we had 1 Corinthians 13 on our wall telling us what love is and what love is not, reminding us, because again, we forget so easily. Or the fruit of the Spirit on your hall table. It's telling you about that you are meant to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A verse telling you you're the light of the world. We need to be reminded of these things. Or maybe my computer, just below my computer, I have a little, I have one of those little palm crosses that we give out at Easter. I have that there to remind me of the sacrifice of Jesus as I'm writing my sermons. I also have a wee music box that plays Amazing Grace. And sometimes in the middle of I'm writing a sermon, I will actually play that to remind me of the amazing grace of the Lord. We forget so easily. The power of having these things around our homes cannot be underestimated or understated. Or maybe we just need to put them on our phones or our screensavers, because that's the one thing that we look at more than anything else in the world. We are also reminded of the law and the reasons for obedience as we read our Bibles daily, as we pray to the Lord, as we study the Word, as we come to church. You see, the fact is that we forget so easily. We are prone to forgetfulness. So let us take steps in our lives to remember and not forget. Look how seriously Moses took it. Write it on a thing on your arm, put it on your head. You know, we need to take it seriously so you do not forget. This will help us to remain obedient and to help us do the commands of Jesus as we remember them. Jesus desperately wants us, his people, to remember. And then third, if we want to be obedient, we need to teach. How would the people stay obedient? Especially down through the generations, they had to teach. You know, if you've never heard of something, how can you obey it? The word teach is repeated 8 times in these chapters. And at the start of chapter 6, which is just a wonderful chapter, we read these words, These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy a long life. The teaching of the Word of God is vital to our obedience. As Moses taught the Israelites, then they were to teach it to their children and children's children. So we must learn from the Word of God. And we do this at church, in our services, and other programs which we have. Deuteronomy 4 and 2 says, "Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." We as Christians must have teachable hearts and spirits so that we can continue to be obedient and not add or subtract from the Word of God, which is actually really easy to do, especially if you are not receiving regular teaching. You can just start to make up things that sound right to you. The other big responsibility here is to teach our children. Moses takes this seriously, and he repeats it several times again. And in Deuteronomy 6:6, we read, "These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children, or you shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Verse 20, "In the future, when your son asks you, 'What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord your God has commanded you?' tell him, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand.'" You know, if you really want to know something, teach it. I found this out as a teacher. When I actually finally taught long division, I understood it. It took me a long time. Thank you. The challenge is clear. Do we diligently teach our children? Do we talk about Jesus with our children when we sit at home, when we walk with them, when we put them to bed, when they get up? The list that we are given is really quite comprehensive. Yes, BB, GB, Sunday school, holiday Bible club, messy prep, jam. These are all great places to send our kids where they receive some brilliant teaching about Jesus. But without a doubt, the best people for them to learn from are their family. And I say family, primarily it's the parents' responsibility, but also grandparents, uncles, aunts, family, friends. They can all help as they live out their Christian life before our kids, doing and remembering what all that Jesus has commanded and then teaching it as we just naturally talk about Jesus in our conversation. How many of us are prepared to tell our kids the reason for our hope? How we were lost, how we were in slavery to sin, and how Jesus came in power and freed us from that through the cross and through faith in him. Because we need to be able to do that. Moses said, teach and talk. Parents, we need to embrace this, because if we don't, we are going to see more and more of our children turning away from Jesus. Research shows us that as kids get older, they turn away from the church, from the Lord, because parents are not teaching them. They're not teaching their children, and they are not living authentic Christian lives around their children. Through our teaching, we help our children to remember and to do the teachings of Jesus and to be obedient. But we need to do it. Obedience to the Lord is vital in our Christian lives, where we do, where we remember and we teach Jesus' commands. Without obedience, we will fall for idols. And if we fail to do and remember before our children and fail to teach our children, they will fall for idols. In chapter 4, there's a section about idolatry. And idolatry was forbidden in 4:15. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol. They were not to make any shape, man, woman, animal, bird, fish, sun, moon, stars. Of all the things around them, they were not to use them to make an idol. They were just to worship the Lord their God first. As we know, an idol is anything we put before God. As we look around all the things around us today in society, have we made an idol of anything? Put anything before God in our lives? This will happen if we are not obedient to God. I want you to think for just a moment, is there any idols in your life? Deuteronomy 5:32 says, "So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left." Honestly, it is easy to turn aside. Even a degree, even a small thing, which you think isn't massive, can make a massive difference after a while. In these three chapters, they are full of warnings against turning to idols. Chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 talks about how they were punished for it. In verse 25, there's a warning about provoking God to anger and how they will lose the land as a consequence of not being obedient to God. And this happened. This happened to the people of Israel. They went into exile because the people didn't obey God. They didn't do his commands. They didn't remember all of the things that he had done for them, or the reason why they should follow him, because they didn't teach their children and it got forgotten about. For some of us here today, maybe we feel distant from God because we are chasing and have chased idols, things that have come between us and God. Maybe you feel that you are in a time of exile. Hear this from Deuteronomy 4:30. When you're in distress and all of these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers which he confirmed to them by oath. Simply return. Repent and be restored by your loving and merciful God, your loving Heavenly Father, and turn to obedience. Obedience, idols, and us. Where do you stand? Do you stand under the obedience or under the idols? Are there idols keeping you away from being fully obedient? I finish with a verse, one verse in these three chapters, which really struck me, and it shows the fatherly heart of God. Imagine God as our loving Heavenly Father, looking over us tonight, wanting us to be equipped as his people going into the future, and because of his love, desperately wanting us to be obedient. And he is saying, from chapter 5, verse 29, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever." Jesus came to give us a way for it to go well with us forever by accepting him. He came out of love. Let us respond to his love with love and obedient lifestyles. And do the commands of Jesus. Remember them and teach them.